2 für Union nach 0 zu 2 Rückstand. Ich muss mega kotzen. Man pendelt die Chance, weil er mit dem Rücken zum Tor die
Moin, es ist ja schon einige Zeit nach 19.10 Uhr, ich würde sagen so ungefähr 90 Minuten. Ihr hört den Millern-Ton und zwar den Millern-Ton zum Spiel am Ostersonntag gegen den ersten FC Heidenheim. Der FC St. Pauli spielt in Heidenheim am 21.04. Und ich bin Tim, ihr kennt mich schon vom vor dem Spiel, nach dem Spiel gegen Paderborn und aus der Monatssendung. Und ich habe heute eine Premiere hier am Mikro und zwar ist es nicht meine Person, ich hatte meine Premiere schon, sondern ich habe an der anderen Leitung habe ich Sarah und Sarah kommt aus Kanada, die kommt aus Toronto, also der Millern-Ton reist hier durch die Zeiten gerade und deswegen werden wir einen Großteil, nämlich das Gespräch wirklich über Heidenheim, werden wir tatsächlich auf Englisch führen und ich bin mir ziemlich sicher, dass viele von euch da sehr viel Spaß dran haben werden. Okay, now I switch to English and if I change again to German, Sarah, please let me know. Hi Sarah.
Yeah, hello Tim, thank you for having me.
So, at first, you're from Toronto, and this is quite interesting. How the hell you became a Heidenheim supporter? Please tell us.
Yeah, rather kind of an interesting story. For quite a long time, I was actually a lackluster FC St. Pauli fan. I had friends from Hamburg who are FC St. Pauli fans, and I actually attended some meetups of the Toronto supporters groups here in Toronto, but I never really felt like FC St. Pauli was my team. I always felt like it was someone else's team. So I came to become a Heidenheim fan really through a combination of the documentary Trainer, which featured FC St. Pauli's coach at the time, André Sherbert.
But he was an asshole, so... Yes, I now understand because Frank Schmidt, he was really sympathetic there in this Trainer movie.
Yeah, of course, yeah, Frank Schmidt and FC Heidenheim came off very well in Trainer, but also I spent a lot of time in Baden-Württemberg as part of my graduate research. And so between a Trainer and spending time in the region, I couldn't help but fall in love with the passion and persistence of FC Heidenheim. And of course, you know, that wonderful Cinderella story of their ascension from the regional league to the Zweite Liga under Frank Schmidt. I mean, for me, it was a winning combination and FC Heidenheim became my team.
So you were in love with football before you met Heidenheim, or you told me in the conversation we had before starting this recording, you were there for graduating, and you were a football supporter before in Canada, or what? So I always relate Canada to curling and ice hockey.
Yes, of course. Yes, I'm a bit of a soccer fan before, and of course the Bundesliga, I followed it on and off, but it was really through spending time in Germany and being there that it really, I really took on that sort of football culture, and it really became something that I found very interesting. Of course, the level of play is much better that you find in Germany than you find here in Canada, and that of course makes it more exciting for me as a fan.
Okay, thank you for this introduction. So now let's talk about Heidenheim itself. So about the season, what happened so far, and about what you might expect, about what still can happen. So you had one highlight at first. You had this highlight in the cup quarterfinal against Bayern Munich. You watched it?
Of course. It was such an exciting game.
Yes, I mean, so it was also in Germany. So normally in Germany there's this kind of, yeah, how to say, this kind of style of not saying Heidenheim, they played so great. It's like more that Bayern Munich, they are so dumb and stuff like this. So, but I also thought that Heidenheim, they were quite aggressive. And yes, I think Robert Glatzer, we will come later to him. He made this, yeah, match of his life. So, or at least the one match that will lift him up to the first league. So,
absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Now we come to the season. Heidenheim is at the moment situated at place 6, place before St. Pauli. So this is like a match between neighbors, I would say. And both St. Pauli and Heidenheim, they are both still in contact with at least with the third place, with the place for the playoffs, for the promotion to the first league. This is Union Berlin with 49 points. Heidenheim has 46 at the moment. And yeah, tell me about the last, let's say, 5-6 games. So I remember that you've started quite good after the winter break, but then there was kind of a period where at least the results were not that good.
Yeah, we really started the second half of the season in quite a strong position. Of course, there was a little bit of chatter that we were in line for promotion, and it seemed as soon as that chatter started, it gave us some bad superstition, and we had trouble keeping up the momentum there. So, you know, we barely won against Aue, we lost to Köln, and, you know, we were lucky enough to tie Magdeburg, and Aue and Magdeburg aren't powerhouse teams by any stretch of the imagination. So I think in terms of going up for promotion at this point, it's definitely possible for FC Heidenheim to do it, but I think it will be a bit of a challenge. Union Berlin has had a very strong season, and Paderborn really seems to be kicking it into gear. Yeah. And FC Heidenheim just hasn't really been consistent in the last few games. So I would be happy to see them, you know, take that third position, but I would also be very surprised at this point.
Yeah. So the good thing is now St. Pauli is coming, and honestly, I haven't checked this before, but I have the feeling that St. Pauli has never even shot a goal in Heidenheim. So, or did they score? So I think they lost every game, every match in Heidenheim. But beside this, the last, let's say, 5 games, the next 4 games after the St. Pauli match, they are also quite tricky because you play against Paderborn after the St. Pauli match.
Yes, we do. And then after that, we have basically 3 teams that are at the bottom of the table. But as we've seen, FC Heidenheim tends to be a little tired on the pitch against the lower ranked teams. You know, if they play a team like Bayern Munich, they really turn it on. FC Köln, they'll come out and have a lot of energy. But when it comes to these lower ranked teams, they tend to not play as strong. So, and especially these lower ranked teams are going to come out, they're going to be fighting to avoid relegation. So we'll see if Heidenheim can grab the points going into the final stretch here.
So you think it's more like, is it like a mental problem, or is it like that they have to, like, are the favorites or start as the favorites in the match? So against, like, it's Sandhausen, Duisburg and Ingolstadt. And is it kind of a mental problem that, how to say, the squad of Heidenheim is like, okay, we can do it easily, or is it like a problem of the style of play?
I think you're definitely right. I think it is a mental problem. I think FC Heidenheim this year has done a good job in terms of changing the attitude of the team, especially around defense and remaining strong when they're down a goal. FC Heidenheim last season, if someone scored against them, you would see their defense absolutely fall apart. This season, they're a much tighter, more cohesive team and much stronger. But I do think that when they are, you know, playing a less challenging team, they don't see that there's as much there to lose or even win for that matter. And I think it does affect their performance on the pitch.
So if you compare the last season with this season now, so in last season you've been to relegation trouble at the end of the season, like almost like half the league or more than half the league, I would say, into relegation. But for you, it was like pretty close, isn't it? So as far as I remember, it was really close.
It was really close. You're absolutely right. I think about half the table was fighting to stay in the second league last year. But definitely for us, it wasn't even, you know, a matter of winning that last game that it came down to. But it was also a matter of making sure the other teams that were playing lost so that they would end up below us. Luckily this year, we have secured our position in the Zweite Liga. But it doesn't mean that, you know, we need to rest on our laurels. There's still definitely room to charge up to the top of the table if we put in the effort.
So, and what have changed between the seasons? So is it like about this, are there so many changes in the squad, or are there so many changes in the tactics? What happened to Heidenheim in between the seasons?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot of it, I think, has to do with the composition of the squad. So before last season, we had a lot of players who had been with FC Heidenheim for quite a while. And we see with this season, there's a lot of new blood. So I think that's part of it, is that we have a younger team. They're faster, they're sharper on the ball, and they challenge more. So I think that's part of it. But I also think that for a long time, Frank Schmidt sort of has this attitude of the players who do well in training during the week will show up on the field during the game. Mm-hmm. And I really think there's been a change in team composition here, in that now Frank Schmidt tends to be playing with a core squad of, you know, 8 consistent players, and then he just switches around a player or two depending on who the team is that he's playing. And I think this has been a very smart decision because it allows for more team unity and team cohesion. And you see this now, you know, Heidenheim's passing the ball a lot better and there's a lot better communication on the field.
Yes, if I think of Heidenheim, there's of course Frank Schmidt. How long is he coach or manager of the team at the moment? So since 150 years or how long is it?
Yeah, almost 150 years. So he's been there 11 years now.
11 years. So this is more than 150 years in kind of, how to say, coach life. So
yeah, especially for St. Pauli, who changes their coach nearly every year, right?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes, at the moment. But yeah. We try to do it. We try not to do it, but so from my point of view, so it was necessary, but not in between. So not short to the end of the season. But this is another topic, and I don't want to talk about this anymore. So I always think about Frank Schmidt, and then I think about 2 players, and the first is, so I think everyone can imagine, it's Marc Schnatterer, of course.
Of course.
So he's kind of, is he really, so it seems to us, but is he this kind of legend as we think of? So
yes, absolutely. His nickname is Mr. Heidenheim. Okay. He along with Frank Schmidt are really the institution of FC Heidenheim as we've known it for over the past decade. And, you know, his reputation is not undeserved. Although he's an older player, he's still playing extremely strong. Mm-hmm. He's had 9 goals this season alone. And, you know, many of the goals that we see a player like Robert Glatzel get are coming from assists from Marc Schnatterer. Yeah. So as the captain of our team, he's really been holding FC Heidenheim together for quite some time now.
So I have the feeling, so because since years or let's say 5 years ago, every season, every summer break and every winter break, all the rumors were going on like Schnatterer could go to the first league and because he has the quality and stuff like this. But I think since 5 years, maybe he said, okay, guys, you don't have to try. I will stay here. So, but this is what I think every team or every supporter of a team wants, like a really good player who's even much too good for their own team, so, or at least for the league, and he just wants to stay and play football. So it's kind of a really, really cozy situation there, I think. So from my point of view, for you. The second one is, and I don't know, but as long as I can think of Heidenheim, I think always think of this center middle midfield called Griesbeck.
Yes. Yes, yes. Griesbeck holds down the center middle quite well. He's our alternate captain. He's there. He's reliable. He's steady. So you're definitely always going to see him on the pitch for Heidenheim.
Yeah, he's quite tall, and I think so. This Griesbeck is one of those players you only like when he's part of your team. I always think he's quite aggressive and quite nasty in his style of play. And then you already talked about the best striker this season, about Robert Glatzel. How is this? How does he fit to your team? Because it was before, I always thought it's just Schnatterer. So also in the front, also in the goal scoring, is just Schnatterer. But how's the role of Glatzel in the team?
Yeah, so Glatzel appears to be Frank Schmidt's favorite striker at the moment. So we always see him basically on the field and always up front, regardless of what formation Frank Schmidt is using. So Robert Glatzel has had an amazing season. I know we brought him in last year to be our striker, and he sort of languished a little bit. But this year, his ability to connect with the net has really come through. So he has 12 goals on the season, and they've been good goals. They're not accidental goals by any means. I think against FC St. Pauli, the issue is going to be, will Glatzel be playing this weekend? Because Glatzel has been sick. He's missed practice a few days this week. And so whether or not he will actually be in the game on Sunday is a question mark, which means Frank Schmidt will have to rely on someone like Nikola Davidan to really get those goals for us.
So, but Davidan, the second striker in your squad, or let's say successful striker, he's also quite in a good mood. How to say mood, or like in a good form?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So Davidan usually is our alternate. Frank Schmidt likes to play a two-striker formation, usually with Glatzel in the lead and someone like Davidan or Denis Tamala flanking him. Mm-hmm. So Davidan is an amazing striker. He has 6 goals this season, so he'd be great on the field as well. There's also talk of bringing in Leipertz, mm-hmm. who hasn't seen a lot of action for FC Heidenheim, so I really can't speak to whether he'll be creative on the field or not, but we'll see.
Okay, so you said about the formation with two, that Frank Schmidt is playing with two strikers. So I remember when I have done a, let's say, 2 or 3 years ago, a deeper analysis of the style of play of Heidenheim when they played at FC St. Pauli at the Milan Tour, I mm-hmm. always have seen this 4-3-3 formation with Schnatterer on the, I think it was on the right side in the front, and then I think it was some kind of, what was his name, Teuerkauf or something like this.
Yeah.
No. I just missed the name, but so it's this. What I wanted to ask for is like this 4-3-3 formation. It's not any longer the style of play of Heidenheim, isn't it? So if you say it's two strikers at the moment, is he also playing with one striker? Is he kind of playing really inflexible formations? What do we have to expect?
Yeah, so Frank Schmidt works with a standard 4-4-2, so 4 defensemen, 4 midfielders, and 2 attackers. Mm-hmm. So that's really his core formation, but how he arranges the people on the field really depends on the team that's at play. So recently we've seen him play a 4-2-3-1, a 4-5-1, and a 4-4-1-1. So normally we see Glatzel up front, but as for how it goes in the back, it really depends on whether Frank Schmidt wants to play a more offensive game or defensive game.
Okay, and what do you expect against St. Pauli?
Honestly, I'm not sure. I think, you know, FC St. Pauli and FC Heidenheim have been dancing around each other on the table throughout the whole season. So I think in terms of a team, I think we're fairly evenly matched, which should make for a very exciting game, especially with both teams being within shot of that third promotion position. So it could be quite spirited out there, but I think the coaching changes at FC St. Pauli leaves a bit of a question mark in terms of how FC St. Pauli will play and how FC Heidenheim will play as a response.
Yes, how to say, so I would not expect that someone of some official of the staff of Heidenheim is listening now. So I expect St. Pauli with 2 strikers. And because this is the how to say favorable formation of our new manager Jos Luukay, and yeah. So he likes to play with 2 strikers, and then really, really kind of we've seen against in the last match we've seen a really aggressive and high pressing, and it worked out. Yeah, so in the first half it was played quite bad, so really bad pressing. But I think they won't change the style of play. How is Heidenheim able to work with the aggressive pressing, so a high pressing also very early on the pitch?
Yeah, it really depends on who is placed on the field for Heidenheim. And so what I've noticed is that Heidenheim tends to be more aggressive with Norman Thoyerkopf on the pitch. Mm-hmm. But what Frank Schmidt tends to do is either start with Thoyerkopf, who's more of a D-mid, or with Arne Fike, who is more of a pure defenseman. And what I've noticed is that when Arne Fike is on the field, the energy tends to drop a little bit. We're not pressing as hard, and we do tend to play more of a defensive game. So it really depends on who Frank Schmidt starts in that position as to which Heidenheim team we're going to see on the field against St. Pauli.
Okay. So, I've seen an interview with Frank Schmidt and Marc Schnatterer a few weeks ago, luckily, and Frank Schmidt said in this interview that they changed from, a pure, so the English, so I don't, honestly, I don't know the English word for it, for umschalten. So like this counter-attack style of play and this high counter-pressing they play. So Frank Schmidt said, they changed from this pure counter-pressing team towards a team that can deal with ball possession. So what happened between, and how do they deal with ball possession? Are they just like passing it much, so always, or try to be always play vertical, or are they also try to have breaks in their possession and play horizontal and play it like smooth and easy and wait for the chance to get into the striking position?
This is a good question. I'm not sure how much I can speak to this issue. What I can say is that we've seen FC Heidenheim doing a better job of fighting for the ball. If we've looked at FC Heidenheim's performance in previous seasons, they do not challenge teams as hard, very hard. And this season, they are getting in there and definitely challenging for the ball and getting a lot of opportunity from that. And you see this a lot with a player like Marnon Busch, who's a very fast runner and is able to, you know, make those challenges either offensively or defensively and really get the ball away from the other team. And I think that's been the biggest change in terms of FC Heidenheim is playing this season is being more aggressive for the ball possession. They're not 100% there yet, but when we see them doing it, it definitely changes the play of FC Heidenheim quite a bit to being a more aggressive offensive team.
Okay, because St. Pauli can't deal with offensive pressing of the contender, and so this is why I'm asking for it. So you said that Frank Schmidt, he kind of always react to the opponent actually. So it's not that they have just one style of play and they just try to bring the style on the pitch and have a lot of their own, like how to say, to stamp their style of play to the match. It's like they react to the style of the other team, right?
Yeah, and it's very dynamic. You'll see sometimes Frank Schmidt will make a substitution very early on if he seems that, you know, we need to be stronger in the defense against a certain team. He'll make those switches so that SC Heidenheim can have that more flexible style of play and really adjust to the situation on the pitch. It's never just one team is going to show up and it's one size fits all. Absolutely not. The FC Heidenheim is always adjusting its play to its opponent.
Okay, so then I will expect, because I will be there in the Voigt Arena on Sunday, then I will expect Frank Schmidt with his hat on the left side. He will head down to the left side and yelling over the pitch, right, to Marc Schnatterer to say him, tell him that it's 4-2-3-1 now and stuff like this, right? Okay, I have some stats for you, just two stats. So and it's like, they are really bad stats for Heidenheim, but good for St. Pauli. So 8 goals conceded Heidenheim after corners. So this is the top of the league. I just want to say this now.
Okay.
Because then I would say we. So it was a bit of. So I. So at the moment, I think I try to remember when we made our last goal from a corner. And I think so. It's a long time ago that we already had a corner goal this year. So this season, of course, but this year I'm not sure. But this is one bad. So that you are top of the league there in this statistics, and you also conceded the most shot on your goal, most shots on your goal of the whole league. So it's not like Ingolstadt who conceded the most shots. It's not, how to say, it's not St. Pauli, it's Heidenheim. And there's a bit space to the second place. So I've checked the stats today, but there's a bit space. But yes, you conceded the most shots on your goal. But so how many goals you conceded so far? Not much, right? So let's say, I think this match against Paderborn was quite bad for you. So you got 5 goals, right? 5-1. You lost 5-1.
Yeah.
Are there any more matches that were quite bad? So I think it's kind of, I think you're really strong in the defense. That's just what I wanted to say. Even though you get a lot of shots on your own goal.
Yeah, definitely not conceding goals is an important step up for Heidenheim. But yes, there is a little bit of work to still be done on the defense in terms of making sure the opposition doesn't get in that end to begin with.
Okay, this is about Heidenheim, and to end this this conversation about the match itself. What do you predict? So, what is the score?
I predict. Of course, I'm going to say this, and I say this because FC St. Pauli is going through a bit of a transition. I predict a Heidenheim win, maybe 2-1, 2-0.
2-1, 2-0. So normally I would always say Heidenheim, St. Pauli, 3-0, because it's like if St. Pauli is playing the away game. But I think we gain more stability now with the new coach. And as Frank Schmidt is always a coach or a manager who is like reacting on the formation of the opponent. And now he honestly has most probably not that good idea what is Jos Luhukay trying to play. So I will expect 0-1 for St. Pauli. So we will win. Maybe it will be a draw, and it will help no one of us for the relegation battle. So I switch to German now for some other information. Ah ja, ich wechsle aufs Deutsche. Sarah, ich komme später nochmal zu dir zurück. Ich wechsle jetzt aufs Deutsche, weil ich habe mir heute nämlich extra nochmal für alle anreisenden St. Pauli-Fans habe ich mir extra nochmal durchgelesen, was im Stadion erlaubt ist und was nicht. Und da wollte ich euch mal ein bisschen mit ins Boot holen. Nämlich habe ich hier den Bericht Gäste-Fan-Information des ersten FC Heidenheim von 1846 e.V. Großartig. Den habe ich übrigens auf der Seite vom Fanladen ausgedruckt oder mir da reingezogen. Das kann ich auch nur jedem empfehlen. Und das ist wahrscheinlich alles so wie üblich und wie immer. Also was erlaubt ist, Zaun, Fahnen, Banner, Spruchbänder und Transparente ist alles erlaubt. Fahnen, Stocklänge, maximal 200 cm Stockdurchmesser, bla bla. Was ich interessant fand, 2 Megafone sind erlaubt, inklusive Einsatz Wechselbatterien. Weißt du Bescheid? Verboten sind weitere Megafone. Und was auch erlaubt ist, ist Klebeband. Ich erinnere mich daran, dass mir das mal in Paderborn abgenommen wurde, das Klebeband. Also sollt ihr wissen, ist erlaubt. Und es ist erlaubt, und das lese ich zum ersten Mal, Getränke pro Person, 0,5 Liter, nicht alkoholische Getränke, sind tatsächlich erlaubt, sowie Obst, Schokoriegel, in kleinerem Umfang für persönlichen Bedarf steht hier. Also es ist tatsächlich erlaubt, sich was zu trinken mit reinzunehmen ins Stadion. Ob das dann letztendlich durchkommt, weiß ich nicht, aber es steht hier zumindest drauf. Und ich würde mal, falls sich irgendwer damit das wirklich versucht, mal ein bisschen was zu trinken mit ins Stadion, würde ich gerne mal hören, ob das funktioniert hat oder nicht. Könnt ihr euch ja mal melden bei mir. Genau, das ist das. Dann gibt's noch... Und jetzt weiß ich es natürlich nicht. Und jetzt suche ich hier gerade in meinen Unterlagen und versuche herauszufinden, wo ich das gelesen habe. USP hat eingeladen vor dem Spiel zu einem Treffpunkt, ich glaube entweder 3 oder 6 Kilometer entfernt vom Stadion, zum Grillen. Und jetzt müsste ich lügen, die Uhrzeit ist um 9.30 Uhr, ist der Treffpunkt in der Nähe von dem Stadion. Ach, diese schlechte Vorbereitung, es tut mir sehr leid. Ich werde das auf jeden Fall verlinken, wo wir uns treffen und wann wir uns treffen vor dem Spiel, um da gemeinsam ein bisschen zu grillen. Das Wetter soll ja gut werden und vielleicht sind auch noch ein paar Ostereier versteckt, da ist ja immer ein Ostersonntag. So, Sarah, let's come back to you.
Yep.
So, on what time do you set your alarm clock on Sunday?
My alarm clock on Sunday normally goes off around 6:30 in the morning so that I can watch the game, which usually starts around 7:30.
Okay, this is so I have two small kids at home, so 6:30 is I'm totally fine with this. I could already have watched the first half. So but normally you're watching the matches at home or with friends or like in a bar?
Well, it's 7 a.m. Usually, it's just me watching
Ah,
it
yeah, okay.
with
Not in a bar.
yeah, via a live stream, which is quasi illegal. And luckily, we're having some good luck getting some of the feeds in. But some days, the feed doesn't come into Canada, and so I have to listen through the FC Heidenheim fan radio
Ah, to
to
the fan
hear what
radio.
happens.
So,
Yeah.
if you want to have like the other view in of the fan radio, I will do the FC St. Pauli fan radio, so the so-called AFM radio. So I will do it on Sunday in the stadium. So if you want to have like another really really subjective view of the match, so but from the other side, then you can also listen to me. Sarah, I would like to say thank you for this really nice conversation, and I'm quite impressed, still impressed about Heidenheim supporters from Toronto. And I wish you all the best and hope that yes, Heidenheim will, I'm sorry, not get promoted, because I still have a bit of hope that we will do it in the end. But yes, as I told you, I'm really impressed on what is happening in Heidenheim. So on the manager position, for instance, because there's happening nothing, instead of they always like extend the contract with Frank Schmidt. Do you think that Frank Schmidt will? So I thought it a few weeks ago. Do you think Frank Schmidt will someday in his career will be a coach of another team?
Personally, absolutely not. I think Heidenheim is really good at developing talent, and when they find people who they like, they try to keep them within the organization. So I wouldn't be surprised if eventually in the future we see Frank Schmidt move into a more administrative role within the organization. But I don't think we're going to see him go into Braunschweig or anything like that.
Who wants to go to Braunschweig, honestly? So, okay. Thank you, Sarah, so much. And maybe if it works out in the end, we can also, because I'm in the stadium and we are always, so in the Millerton, we are always looking for a person who is in the stadium so we can talk or share experience in the stadium. But as far as I had problems, or maybe I switch to German again. Ich hatte große Probleme, jemand aus Heidenheim zu bekommen, einen Fan aus Heidenheim zum Gespräch hier. Und ich bin total glücklich, Sarah jetzt hier dabei zu haben, und habe aber auch immer noch Probleme, jemanden aus dem Stadion zu bekommen, der im Stadion war, aus Heidenheim. Und dementsprechend könnte ich mir, da ich auch im Stadion bin, könnte ich mir gut vorstellen, dass Sarah und ich das auch wieder fürs nach dem Spielgespräch machen, weil, because Sarah, you will set your alarm clock to 6:30 to watch the match, and then we can speak about the match a few days after the Sunday.
Sounds great.
Yes. So far, thank you. And oh, German again. Now I have to switch all in and out. So German in and out, and maybe I will be totally confused in a few sentences, but wait for it. Now it's German again. So, ich wünsche euch frohe Ostern, liebe Zuhörer, und wir hören uns zum nach dem Spielgespräch wieder. Und wie gesagt, vielleicht mit Sarah, vielleicht nicht. Das müssen wir noch mal sehen. Und bis dahin macht's gut, kommt gut nach Heidenheim oder verbrennt euch nicht am Osterfeuer und sucht schöne Ostereier und habt einfach Spaß. Und wir hören uns wieder. Macht's gut, bis bald. Bye, Sarah. We will hear
Bye.
from each other. Bye.
Vielen Dank, Tim.